passage comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And this is the very first story that has David in it. The very first. King Saul has gone off on his own and done his own thing. And not done right. So that's where we start our story. 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting with verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you, and say I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw a ladder and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. And Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then returned to Ramah. Let me read one more verse that was not that main part of the passage. But verse 14 says this: "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, an evil spirit." Sometimes don't we get impatient? Sometimes don't we get impatient and we want such and such done when?
Yesterday.
It's not good enough for it to be done now. We wanted them to know at McDonald's what we wanted before we got there and have it more than ready when we get there, right? We don't want to wait around. Sometimes we get impatient, and I bring that up because Saul got impatient, and that's why he was rejected as king. He was waiting for Samuel to come to offer sacrifices. kept hurting Samuel's heart, and he had a tough time with that. And that's why the Lord says at the beginning of this passage, he says, how long will you mourn for Saul? How long? You see, Saul had been rejected by God as king, and God had come to Samuel and said, I have chosen a new king. I have chosen a new king. Now, the story doesn't quite help us understand this, but it's rather complicated. The town of Bethlehem is not a town that's normally on Samuel's circuit that he visits and that he talks with and that he does sacrifices at. And God told him, I want you to go to the town of Bethlehem because one of Jesse's sons I have chosen to be king next after Saul. Not a normal place for him to stop. Imagine what the king would do if the king found out why Samuel was going there. You're ruler, and Samuel's going there to appoint a new ruler. Imagine what Saul would have done in that case. And even later on, because David gets chosen by Saul and his people to be a musician in his presence to calm Saul's heart when he gets frustrated and anxious and angry. And he realizes what has happened, that David has been anointed, and he tries to kill David a few times. Because he's concerned about his position. Well, Samuel can see into this, and he knows what's going to happen, possibly. If he goes to Bethlehem to anoint a new king, and Saul finds out about it, Samuel's probably going to die too. And God says, take a heifer with you, and go there to sacrifice, and that's what you're there for. Now, we can see that this causes some tension when Samuel comes to the town of Bethlehem. And what does it say about the people? Do you come in peace? It says the town trembled when they met him. They knew what it meant for him to show up. And they were scared. Are you here? And Samuel says, yes, I'm here for peace. And he is. Probably not in Saul's eyes, but he's there for peace. And he tells them, all of them, consecrate yourselves. We're going to sacrifice an offering to the Lord. And I want to invite everyone here to that sacrifice. Now, Jesse has at least 8 sons. We don't have any daughters, but there were some. Jesse has at least 8 sons. And one of those sons is out in the field doing the work, while the other 7 and the father comes for the sacrifice. I really like the way the Message talks about this, the way the Eugene Peterson translates it. Because the sons come, and the very first son that he sees, what does he see? Wow, look at him. He's got the right stature. He's got the right presence. Samuel sees that, and he first judged by what he sees. And God says, no. It is the heart that is important. Samuel says, look at the presence of this oldest son. He looks great. He's good in stature. He holds himself well. This must be the one that God has anointed. And God says, no. You see, what we don't realize and what we don't think about sometimes is God has a different vision than we do. The second son comes and the same thing. The third comes and we find out his name. We don't find out the name for the next four. But they all come. And Samuel says what? He says, it's none of these. Do you have any more sons? And this is where I like what the message says. Jesse says, yes, the runt is out in the field taking care of the sheep. The smallest of all of them, he's out taking care of the sheep. And Deanne and I spent a little bit of time talking about this. Because Samuel says, okay, call him in. We're not going to sit down until he gets here. I wonder how long that took. Is he just outside? I don't think so. He's out in the field taking care of the sheep. I don't know how long it takes to get a farmer out of the field. But I don't think it's instantaneous, is it? Lisa, is it instantaneous when you call Eric from the field? Never. No. No, she sounded pretty sure about that, right? And I imagine that David comes in and maybe he needs to clean up a little bit. Maybe he needs to change his clothes. And everybody's just standing around doing what you love to do. Waiting. And as soon as he comes, what was not really expected from this passage, as soon as he comes, it says how beautiful he is. Wait a minute, the first son was good. And God said, no, that's not the reason to choose. What's the difference? God says, people look on the outside. But God looks where? At the heart. What does the heart have to say? So when considering new leaders, God's more concerned about integrity and morals rather than appeal and stature. God is more concerned about integrity and morals. Is this a person with the right heart? It's not what they look like on the outside. It's not how they act on the outside sometimes. And I'm always thinking about, especially when I read a passage like this, I'm always thinking about the Pharisees coming to Jesus and complaining to him because his disciples don't wash their hands before they eat. I guess the Pharisees were a bunch of others. What do you think? Gotta wash your hands before you eat. How many times have I got to tell you, wash your hands before you eat? And what does Jesus tell them? He tells them it doesn't matter whether you wash your hands. Yay for Jesus, right? I don't have to wash my hands before he washes them. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to cause a problem. Jesus says it's not what goes into a person that defiles them. Because that passes through their system and out of their bodies. He says it's what's in their heart already. The same kind of idea, isn't it? It's what's in their heart. And there are plenty of scripture writings that talks about if you're angry, that's something that's in your heart. Somebody else did not make you angry. That was already in your heart. If you're impatient, that was already in your heart. It's not everything that went on. Because I can be patient in the middle of a situation where I don't get what I want, can't I? It's what comes out of a person, Jesus says, that defiles them. And James even says, that's where all your evil thoughts come from. Is inside your own heart. Why is it important that we sing that? my heart, O God. Because it's what's in there already. And in this case, as we look at this, God wants to inspect the heart of somebody before choosing a new leader. I wish there was a way we could do that for all people. What do you think? That we could inspect their hearts and we could see their hearts. So, if God is more concerned about integrity and morals, then God is about appeal and stature. What do we need to do? I clearly think what we need to do, we should allow God room in our hearts, in our lives, to teach us to see people the same way that God does. Wouldn't that make sense? God, help me to see people the way you see them, for who they are, and what's in the midst of their hearts. To me, once again, that's why prayer is so important. Lord, help me to see with your eyesight. Help me to see with your vision. Help me to see with your wisdom. So that I can see what's for true and what's for real. I need to have a close connection with God so that I can better see who people really are and what their heart is like. Now, James does tell us in his epistle that by what people do, we can tell what their heart is. So we need to watch people. How they act and what they do and the things that they say and how they treat other people. And when we do that, we can get a small glimpse of what their heart is. Not in any one moment, but over a course of time. Because there's some people who play a game and they look good when people are watching. But they don't always act that way. And we need to look deeply, and we need to pray and ask God. Because God knows the heart. Just in this case, God knew the heart of David. And David is known as the best king ever, even though he's pretty horrible at some points in his life. But I think he's known as the best king forever because David comes and says, I realize what a sinner I am. And I realize how I've done wrong. And God, it's against you and you only I have sinned. And he seeks to make it right. And he asks God, create in me a new heart. Change me, God. That I may be your reflection in this world. Take some time and read Psalm 51. He just pours out his heart and says, God, I know that I'm a sinner. And sometimes throughout my ministry, people have told me why they don't go to church. And they told me this. Some of them have. Pastor, I don't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. Which, that's an easy thing to follow up with. Really, really easy. Okay? Where else would you want them to be to learn how to be good? That's the easy way to follow that up when somebody says, I can't go there because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. And I think what happens sometimes is we proclaim ourselves to be Christians, and sometimes we forget that we're sinners. And I really think, and I know most of you would not agree with me, I really think we should start every church service just like they do Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. Before you're allowed to say anything or do anything at an AA meeting, hi, my name is Tim, and I'm an alcoholic. church service. Hi, my name is Tim, and I'm a sinner. And I know I do wrong. I come up with a new thing these days to say to stop conversations. By the way, I love this. It stops just about any conversation. So you men can borrow this. I'm a man, and I know I'm wrong. I've been trying to get Alan to go home and say it to his wife, but he says it won't go over well. I don't understand. That'll stop the conversation, guys. But you got to say it with that kind of forcefulness and attitude. I'm a man, and I know I'm wrong. Pause between the two phrases. But maybe that's what we need to be about as people of God. I know my heart's not right at times, and I'm just going to say it up front. It doesn't think right, it doesn't decide right, it doesn't do right. And even Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, I got a problem with that. Because the things I want to do that I should do as a Christian, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do because I shouldn't do them, I keep doing. Wait a minute, the Apostle Paul said that? Wouldn't you think he's kind of got that straight by now? What I want you to realize is that God looks at the heart. And we need to learn how to look that way. And the only way to learn how to look that way, I think, is to be closer to God. Because it says in Scripture, if we ask for wisdom, God will supply it. That is a prayer that will be answered. God, show me people's hearts so that I can help them. Not so that I can distance myself from them. Show me their hearts. Because that's where God looks. So, are you willing to listen to God? And choose by what God values and not the world? What God values is different than most people. Are you willing to choose by what God values? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you acknowledging how difficult things are sometimes. And it's easy for us to see the story and to understand that you look upon the heart. It's easy for us to see the story and say, well, that's so hard for me to do, Lord. But the truth of the matter is, because Samuel was close to you, he was able to hear your choice. And he was able to carry that out. Lord, teach us how to be close to you so that we can hear what you value. That we can stand up for that and speak for that. And that we can entrust people with hearts,